Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. We're going to start your week off by rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me, as always, is Dan the Man. Hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but you know, make a random stop over just to see what's going on. You just never know what the hell's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three V's.
So my quick apology here, Dan, to everybody. I know I promoted the Sunday show on Friday when Dan and I were leaving, and I completely forgot that it was Mother's Day. And there's absolutely no way Mr. Fantasy's wife would let him do the podcast on Mother's Day. So, I do apologize for us not being here. It just kind of not being married and not having kids, that just kind of spaced my mind that it was actually Mother's Day. So I completely apologize for anybody who was looking for us yesterday. So sorry about that. But all right. Well, Dan, we will kick the week off. And this was a little controversial when I got it. You sent me your picks. And I think most people I saw or picks I saw had Francisco Lindor as the AL Player of the Week. You know, he hit 600, four homers, five RBIs. You went a different way. You went with who?
Manny Machado. Well, I mean, he played every game last week. He's actually living up to his own hype, which, to be honest, I really wasn't buying. He crossed the plate himself eight times. He got ten hits, two doubles, four home runs, 11 RBIs. He walked three times and he only struck out three times. You know, his batting average was low 370 compared to 600, but his OBP 433. He slugged 889 and his OPS was 1.3.
All right. Well, Dan, sadly, I was notified that you are now out of the Baseball Writers of America Club. Because not only did you not pick Francisco Lindor, but I'm sure you noticed this. You skipped over both Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, who both hit 391 last week with three homers. They each had three homers, not one of them. Judge drove in 12, Stanton drove in seven. So, you really went against the grain here. I mean, it's kind of an interesting choice. Are you just doing it hoping that somebody hears this and you piss some people off, or are you buying Manny and his $400 million contract next offseason in a Cub uniform?
Well, this year I'm buying it. But, I mean, I know all the other numbers don't matter, but they still matter to me. And, you know, you conveniently left out how many times those guys walked, struck out, you know, crossed the plate themselves, or how many games they were in.
Yeah, well, you know, they played all – the Yankees only had six games last week, so they played in all of them. To be fair, Judge did walk seven times. He struck out eight. And Stanton, surprisingly, only struck out two times. I don't know how that happened. Maybe figuring it out. So, but, of course, you know, Stanton didn't score a ton of runs. He only had four. There are some comparable stats here. I mean, I would have picked Mookie Betts just for the fact that he tripled, but that's just me being vindictive because none of those guys tripled. So. Like I said, I just thought it was really interesting because I thought I had saw that, Lindor only played in five games. I don't remember if he had a day off or if the Indians just had a rain out or something. But I know he's been the talk. I thought I saw he was voted AL Player of the Week. But I always like it when you don't pick the guys they pick. I think it makes it more fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then we slide over to the NL. And what is going on with you and your homer picks? Is this the second or third time you've made a homer pick? You went with who in the NL this week?
I mean, how could you not go with Wilson Contreras? He was only in five games with 23 at-bats, but he crossed the plate himself six times. 11 hits, three doubles, two triples, three home runs, 12 RBIs, a walk, one strikeout, one stolen base. You know, his average was 4.78.
Yeah.
Slugging 1.1 and the OPS of 1.6.
You know the bandwagon they're on, though, is Odubel Herrera. You know, he's been on base like 40 straight games. Mm-hmm. He had comparable numbers, 5.26 with the three homers and the nine RBIs. Scored one more run. Didn't have quite the extra base hits Contreras had. You know, Contreras had the three doubles, the two triples to go with the homers. You know, Herrera had the three homers, but only one double. He did draw six walks, which is kind of surprising because he's not really a walk guy. But yeah, he seems to be the jolly name in the NL. But yeah, you happily chose to go a different route. So
yeah, I mean, his numbers are great, but you can't factor in 40 games on base or any of that when we're only talking about seven days. So for anyone using that as their basis, they're completely wrong.
That's what went wrong. Sorry, I clicked over to get a head start on pitching, and it had their batting averages up. And I was like, wait, I don't care what a pitcher's hitting. So this kind of baffled me there. So, you know, I confuse myself at times. I just can't help it. But all right, so as we set up to move to pitching, now that I am all caught up, I realized with – you know, we've been doing this for 7 weeks now. This is week seven. And your AL pick is the fourth time you have went to this team for your AL pitcher of the week. Why don't you tell everybody who you went with? Yeah.
Are you writing this down? I haven't been saying it.
Yes.
I try to save the email. But,
I don't have a Google Sheet. Down.
I'll have to start one. I mean, two starts, two wins, 15 innings pitched, eight hits, only one earned run, really walked three, but he struck out 12, leaving his opponents with a 151 batting average. And that would be, I guess, the man of the week, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, it does look like he was the only starter to win two games. There were like 14 guys who made two starts, the only one who got two wins out of it. Yeah, that, you know, anytime you got a sub one ERA, you know, in a couple of starts, it's tough to argue with that one. So, you know, I know Severino racked up some strikeout numbers in his starts, but I'm to the point now where I don't think strikeouts are that important because we just, you know, it just everybody does it now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm noticing that's getting a little more difficult to really, you know, judge by strikeouts because everyone is getting close to double digits in two games now.
Yeah, hell, in one game now. Now, you know, the rookie from Minnesota had a really good week too. Was it just the innings that kind of, you know, pushed you towards Keuchel? You know, he had a sub one ERA. You know, he made it two starts, but you know, obviously they're watching him closely. So he ended up throwing only a total of 11 innings in his two starts, where Keuchel went 15. Was that kind of the difference in those two guys?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's hard. I just kind of look at the numbers. I don't really look a whole lot at the names until after I've kind of settled on my guy. So you mentioned I've gone four times to Houston, but, I mean – just blame it on whatever they've got going on down there. But yeah, I mean,
once to Justin Verlander, twice to Colin, all the cycle. So Charlie Morton's not feeling the love, Dan.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll be soon. But, you know, for me, when factoring it in, I'm, you know, I'm going with what Major League Baseball gives us, because those are the only stats that truly matter in the game that is actually played on the field. And, you know, the last factor in my choice is the team and the player. I don't even look at those until the very end.
Yeah, and now, you know, as we slip over to the NL here, boy, there were a lot of really good choices you could have made. I mean, I'm sure this one was a little difficult for you. So throw your guy out there and let us know why you went with him.
Well, you know, he only pitched in 2 games for the week, only 12 innings. He only gave up 3 hits, but he did not give up a single run or even a home run, as a matter of fact. I wasn't super pleased with the 7 walks, but I think you can cross out the walks in a situation like this when there are no earned runs on the board. He also struck out 12 in 12 innings, leaving his batting average for the opponent at 0.081. And that's the newbie from Atlanta, Sean Newcomb. To be honest, I was kind of surprised when I landed on him also. But I think for a team like the Braves and a performance like this, you know, he kind of deserves the AL or NL Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah, you know, it would have been great if he would have, you know, racked up or 14 or even 16 innings, but to go 12 innings, shut out, you know, not give up an earned run or any run. Actually, he didn't even give up an unearned run. That's big time. I mean, but yeah, there were a lot of guys. You know, Strasburg was 2-0. Nola went 2-0. Luis Castro from the Reds had a really good week. He went 2-0. You know, I know Jeremy Hellickson only had that one decision, but he posted a 0.77 ERA. So yeah, there were a lot of really what could have been solid choices in the NL. So yeah, this that had to be a little bit of a tough one for you to land on.
I was, but I mean, I can't truly explain why my brain goes that way, but that's where I landed.
So yeah, you know, while we're on pitching, Dan, I'm always baffled by, you know, what I kind of call just the incredible, it's incredible stupidity of the media, but they have such a bias to get their agenda across that I actually had to go out and look up some stats just from yesterday. All right, everybody was talking again about what a great outing Shohei Ohtani had. You know, he's the guy again. All of a sudden, we're back on, you know, the Ohtani train, and he's the man, and he's going to win all the awards again. And what they kept pushing at Dan was the fact that he struck out 11 batters in 6 1/3 innings. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's. Yeah, you know, that's pretty solid. But then I thought, well, strikeouts are obviously the new fad in baseball. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at yesterday and I'm going to see, well, who did what. Dan, there were 4 pitchers who struck out 10 or more guys yesterday. All right, the big guy was actually the rookie from Milwaukee, Peralta. And I'm drawing a blank on his first name right now. I you know, for some reason I wanted to say
picked him up in both ways.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, what the heck is his name there? I'll have to.
I want to say Frenchie. I'm getting it.
Yeah, I want to. I'm gonna bing it here real. But yeah, so you know, obviously he put up huge strikeout numbers in just 5 1/3 innings. You know, they kind of stopped talking about him after he lost the no-hitter. Okay, Freddie, thank you. You know, so they went away from him. Now, you know, then, you know, Ohtani drops in with his 11. But, Dan, these next two guys aren't big-time strikeout pitchers, but yet they both got the double-digit numbers yesterday. John Gray of the Rockies got knocked around. I actually think he was pitching against the Brewers. Gave up 6 runs in 5 1/3 innings. Still struck out 10 guys. So, you know, he got 16 outs and 10 of them were strikeouts. I was like, okay, hey, great. And then the other guy who actually has pitched on both sides of town here in Chicago, Clayton Richards, went 8 innings for the Padres yesterday and struck out 10 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Dan, I don't like the way that they're just plugging in strikeout totals when they want to use them to get a wrestling term in here to get a guy over. Because right now, with the way the game is, strikeouts don't matter. There should be pitchers out there racking up double-digit strikeout totals on a nightly basis with this new advent into, you know, launch angle and swing plane, and, you know, strikeouts don't matter when you got, you know, you've got two strikes on you, you're still going for the home run, you're not trying just to make contact. Then a couple guys who just missed the platform yesterday. I mentioned Castillo. He had 8, and so did Dallas Keuchel in their starts yesterday. So they were right there at the double-digit number. Dan, I'm guessing you'll agree with me here. This was just their way of trying to pump their boy up because he had a couple of normal starts, and they wanted to get him back in the limelight?
Pretty much.
So, but, yeah, it's just kind of – they're cool. I enjoy, you know, looking at the pitcher strikeout totals. It's, it's fun. And, I'm interested to see, you know, how guys are going to do. I mean, Max Scherzer has 91 right now, through 9 starts. If he makes his 33 starts, you know, he's going to be on pace to strike out 330 guys.
That would be amazing.
You know, that hasn't, that's happened in a while, you know, in baseball. So, obviously, it's just a huge joke. But, yeah, it ticks me off when, you pull these kind of shenanigans, let's call them, because we've got to talk about this guy and we've got – what do we got, you know? Because this is the guy we attached our bandwagon to, and, God forbid we, spend too much time on this rookie because he only made one start and – but doesn't it seem like lately, Dan, that everybody takes a no-hitter into the fifth inning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one hasn't been too surprising. But, it's like you mentioned last week, they're more excited about a guy who or not even a guy, a team who throws a combined no-hitter than James Paxton's no-hitter.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's just because he did it in a foreign country. Of course, so did the Dodgers. But he did it for the Mariners, who aren't exactly mainstream, where the Dodgers happen to play in L.A. But speaking of, our beloved Dodgers here, Dan, I know you're the proud owner of a Yasiel Puig jersey. Is it maybe time to get a little concerned, considering – they just got swept by the Reds over the weekend?
Yes. Is it kind of proving that this whole new age, bat your best batter at the top and your coach needs to hug every player and, pat him on the butt. You can't pat him on the butt. Give him a trophy.
Right.
Better, first has ice cream in the clubhouse after every game, win, lose, or draw. Is it the majors? Is it the pros? Is it the big show? Or is it your little league team? How are we treating this?
To be fair, they've definitely had more than their fair share of injuries, as far as a team goes. I mean, you lose, Justin Turner, who we still haven't seen, the other half. You lose the other half of that infield. Corey Seager goes down. Then you add to that, if you don't want to call him the best pitcher in baseball, you've got to call him the best left-hander in baseball, You know, you're not going to get away from that at all. You know, and again, you know, you look at it, Hyunjin Ryu was pitching pretty well, and he strains a groin. You know, they lose him. You know, you and I talked about it earlier. You know, I think you and I have been talking for 2 years now about Julio Urias, and we really haven't seen anything. He won't pitch this year. You know, they're saying he's available for the second half of the season, but he's not going to pitch for the Dodgers. You know, he'll probably pitch in the minors or something just to be ready for next year. So, yeah, you know, are they stupid, Dan? Is that the point we're getting to now where it's just, you know, remember the Giants kind of had that year last year, and oddly, they're still kind of in that funk where they lost all their, you know, all well, the Giants, it was pitching. They lost like every pitcher they had. Is it just the Dodgers year where they're going to get bit by the injury bug and it's going to be too much for them to overcome?
It could be. I mean, the only thing I'm not ruling them out for is, I mean, who knows? They can go and beat their record last year and get a 37-game win streak. I mean, anything
you know,
possible in this game, but I think it is a little bit of time to panic. It's, you know, I mean, when you look around the league, you know, you brought up the East Coast. The Yankees have what seems to be, you know, slimly solid lineup, but is that where you compare them to the Dodgers? Because I don't think you can compare the Dodgers' rotation to the Astros.
No, well, you know, I mean, if they were healthy, maybe, you know, I still think the Astros would come out on a little bit better end of it. But, you know, I mean, obviously, out of those 10 guys, I think Kershaw would still be the best. You know, Verlander is good, and Cole is having a great year. But I'm not taking anybody over Clayton Kershaw, are you?
No.
You know, but, yeah, after that, it becomes probably pretty Astro-heavy. I mean, you would probably go, you know, Verlander, Cole, and Keuchel in some order before you would even consider looking at a, you know, a Rich Hill who's not on the stable list now, but give him a chance. He's got to start coming up. I'm sure he'll be back on. You know, or an Alex Wood who was really good last year and has just been kind of average this year. So, I don't know. So what you're saying, Dan, is the Dodgers need that light pine tar that the Astros have been accused of using to get a better spin rate? Is that what you want them to do?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they were innovators of the 10 or 6 day DL, so why not?
Yeah, but yeah, it just seemed, you know, what's funny is, like, I didn't even really notice the fact that the Reds swept them until somebody brought it up today, and I was like, oh yeah, holy crap, I better look. And then, yeah, the Dodgers are like 16 and 24, and I think they're tied with the Padres for the bottom. They're in, you know, in the NL West, and it was like, man, is it just not, you know, not going to be it for them? It's just going to kind of fade away because of, you know, injuries. So, you know, I guess it's just one of those situations, right? That we can't control as much as we try.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I'm sure the Dodgers and their fans and everybody are hoping and waiting for a better outcome, but I don't know. But, you know, it's just May, so you don't want to throw in the towel now. I mean, even the White Sox took one game from the Cubs yesterday.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I heard all about that, too. So, but we did have one final already. There was the makeup game here in Wrigley. The Braves did beat the Cubs 6-5. Julio Teheran picked up the win. Jose Quintana took the loss, and AJ Minter picked up the save for the Braves. I don't know much about AJ Minter. I'm just gonna kind of sell it like I did. You know, it looked like, you know, the Cubs had a real good chance to come back in this game, Dan. Sadly, they just didn't get that last hit, but now it's been decided, Dan, that the Jose Quintana trade was a bad move. I'm guess, who decided this. Are you buying that situation already?
No, I mean, is it because you is on the disabled list? They needed a new one?
Yeah, I'm not naming names, but he did go Quintana's line today. He had a rough outing. 4 2/3, 9 hits, 6 runs. They were all earned. Walked 3, struck out 6, but gave up 3 bombs. So, yeah, definitely not a stellar start there. Turan for the Braves, 6 runs, 4 hits, 4 runs. They were all earned. Walked 3, struck out just 1, and did give up the homers. So, yeah, you know, looking here, Dan, believe it or not, the only club with more than one hit was Alberto Almora Jr., who was 3 for 4. I know one of his hits was a home run, so I'm assuming, Dan, that means he doesn't play now for the next 7 to 10 games. Is that about right?
Well, yeah, because you'd rather have the kid who led off the entire season with a home run, who really should be in AAA learning how to play the outfield, but amazingly, he went from leadoff all the way down to batting 8th today.
So,
I found that one interesting.
Yeah. You also have to get those at-bats in for Ben Zobrist. Don't forget that. So, you know, you need those things. He was the big guy there. Chris Bryant did pick up a couple RBIs for you if you had him in your lineup. On the Braves side, they had a couple guys mount up some hits here. Ozzie Albies was 3 for 5, scored a run and drove one in. Nick Markakis was 2 for 5 with a couple runs scored. Maybe you picked up Tyler Flowers late and you happen to be playing him. He was 2 for 2 today with 2 RBIs and 3 walks. And then Jose Bautista hit a 3-run homer. He was 1 for 4. So, Albies and Flores hit the hit the other Braves homers. So hopefully you guys were on top of that, fantasy wise or however it worked out. I know there's not a full slate of games, so, maybe you caught a break and had Bautista in your lineup and he paid off, or, like I said, maybe you happen to have Flowers plugged in and it worked out for you today. So we shall see. But here's what else is going to go on. There is a Monday night game on the Mickey Mouse Network. That's the Tampa Bay Rays at the Kansas City Royals. Ryan Yarbrough and Eric Skoglin are the starters there. The Indians are at the Tigers. It's Carlos Carrasco and Mike Fiers making the start. The A's at the Red Sox. Sean Manna and Rick Porcello are on the mound there. The Mariners are at the Twins. Wade LeBlanc and Dan's guy Jake Odorizzi making the start tonight for the Twins. The Brewers are at the Diamondbacks. Junior Guerrero and Patrick Corbin are the starters there. We got the Astros at the Angels. Lance McCullers Jr. and Andrew Heaney are starting there. The Rockies visit the Padres. It's Tyler Anderson and Joey Lucchesi for the Padres there. And then we wrap up the night with the Reds at the Giants. Sal Romano and Chris Stratton are your listed starters there. So that's what you got going on. And if you happen to pick up the Mickey Mouse Network app or anything, you can get the Brewers at the Diamondbacks as well. So
I want to see Wade LeBron play today.
Yes, that's what I almost called him that. So I must have been thinking of something else there, but you know how that kind of goes. But it is LeBlanc, so we shall see. As the Mariner, like Dan and I were talking off the air, the Mariners got their own loss there. Robinson Cano got hit in the hand by a pitch and broke it. They haven't said if surgery is going to be required, and they haven't given his timetable for return yet. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how that all catches up. But yeah, big loss there for the Mariners that goes, goes along. But the injury's piling up.
Now, did you see it? It was pretty nasty. I mean, it was spot on to it, just right at his hand. I know it wasn't intentional, but.
Yeah, I caught the highlight of it, and I was just kind of like, I had known he had broke it, right already from reading the articles and stuff. But the minute I saw the highlight when I got home this morning on Quick Pitch, I was like, Yeah, that's a break. I mean, you didn't even have to know anything else, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't say I'm not an expert on hand injuries, but I know I don't know if you'd call it a fracture or a break or whatever you call it. I definitely, my grip in my right hand lost, you know, at the time, considerable strength compared to the left hand. And I'm sure, you know, the grip strength, which I'm surprised we're not measuring yet. Big Jack, how do we start that measurement? And, you know, to factor in how they hit home runs. But you got to wonder how, you know, which is the least damaging break. You know, if it's the top of the hand, the knuckle, you know, what will help get them, you know, back on the field faster. Now, do they have somebody,
you know,
in line for him? Or does D. Gordon come in and play the infield?
You know, that was one of the rumors I heard, was the fact that they may just bring D. Gordon back in, but I don't know if they can do that to him. You know, I mean, it's not like he's on the Cubs. I mean, not like he's, you know, a Ben Zobrist type of guy who's been playing all over the place. Like, you know, he's still just adjusting to being a center fielder. So, you know, I don't know if you want to, you know, if you want to, you want to make that move. And there actually is an article here I found that says they will not use D. Gordon to fill in as the replacement for Robinson Cano. Let me see if they have. I know they made a call up, but I'm not sure if they're. Yeah, and of course they don't go into any other detail about who might actually take his spot, but. I know they made a call up, but it wasn't Dan Vogelbach. So I'm guessing they called up oh, here you go, Dan. They called up Gordon Beckham. Remember him from White Sox fame?
Oh. But you know, before we get too far into him, but you know what I was going to ask you? You obviously, and obviously, Gordon Beckham isn't going to fill the bat of Robinson Cano. But with the situation you have in Seattle, where you're, you know, a team that's kind of teetering, even with, you know, the lineups that they have going for them. You know, obviously the bat has been sacrificed. Do you just look more into someone who's going to provide solid defense, or do you try to find someone who's got a little bit better of a bat? I mean, I guess it's A or B, because you're really not going to find both. Personally, me, with the situation, I prefer the defensive portion of it. You know, traditionally, even with the lefties, you know, we don't see a whole lot of action on ground balls going to second base. You see that a little bit more going to the shortstop position. So, you know, I'd prefer a guy who's going to be able to handle turning those double plays and, you know, just being able to back up and know his position when the very rare bunt comes into play, especially in the American League, and he knows to be covering first base. You know, if you were the coach, I guess, for the day, what would you be looking for, or the commissioner, GM, whatever you want to call it? What would you prefer? How would you prefer to fill that spot?
Yeah, I definitely think you've got to find somebody who can catch the baseball. You know, that's the big key. I mean, this, you know, with the return of Ryan Healy, while he's not as good as Cano, he can help carry some of that weight until, you know, Cano gets back. So, you know, you can kind of plug him in there. And then, you know, Kyle Seager, as of late, seems to have found that power stroke that he had a couple seasons ago that was gone last year. So, you know, it looks like there's some pluses in the lineup. You know, now it's just a matter of finding, you know, that guy to fill in. And, you know, and I know, I heard somebody talking about possibly Andrew Romine being, you know, the everyday replacement there. I was wondering more about like a Taylor Motter, but I'm trying to remember if he's on the DL. I actually have to look and see. No, he's not. I thought maybe he could be a better choice. You know, he's been a big time utility guy for him. You know, so, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see. And, you know, while Beckham started off as, I think, a third baseman. He ended up moving to second. He's really good defensively, but there's, for whatever reason, that offense never developed like, you know, it did back when he was in college. You know, just one of those things. Maybe he's the late inning replacement guy if you try to go with a Romine or a Motter or a guy like that as the starter. Maybe Beckham fills in on the defensive end, you know, 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Possibly. I mean, watching only a handful of Sox games when Beckham was there, you know, the big homer that the Hawk is, he wasn't very fond of Gordon Beckham. So it's hard to,
no.
You know, you have to look at the numbers. But.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, when you, you know, when you look at him, I mean, you got to kind of consider him a bust. You know, he was the 8th pick back in 2008, and I wonder if maybe they rushed him a little bit because he came up right away, but he hit well as a rookie. He actually hit 270 as a rookie and never really got close to that again. Well, I guess he did kind of get close back in 2013. He hit 267. But yeah, it just, you know, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. He ended up being a career 239 hitter. You know, 16 home runs were his high back in 2012. So, yeah, it, you know, and, you know, after leaving the White Sox, you know, he bounced around a little time with the Angels, a little time with the Giants, I think a little time with the Braves, and now, you know, over to Seattle. But, yeah, I don't expect him to, you know, to be the answer and win the job. But, you know, like I said, on the plus side, he is a good defender.
I was going to say, I was surprised he sat on the Braves with, you know, Tyler Flowers and whatever.
Yeah.
White Sox. Take a take.
Well, you know, well, they got Jose Bautista now to fill that role. So, you know, they're okay there. But yeah, you know, he's played second, short, and third in his career, so he has experience at, you know, at all three if they, you know, if they need him. But the majority of it's been at second, where he is a you know, his fielding percentage is, you know, 98.5 for his career, so that's really good. So you know, we'll have to see how they handle it, or, you know, how things kind of work out. But it's a tough loss. You know, anytime you lose a guy like Cano, that's difficult. Those guys are hard to replace, and we'll see, you know, not only so much on the field, but also, you know, in the dugout, you know, a veteran like that, obviously, you know, a clear team leader, you know, that can be big for a team. So we'll have to see how the Mariners handle it. So then, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, yesterday we ended up not being here. So I did not have a FanDuel lineup to throw out there. I can tell you the one I did do ended up scoring 136 points. And the sad part about it was I had Jason Kipnis in the lineup and forgot to go back and look to see if he was confirmed in, and he wasn't. So I ended up eating a zero there and still scored 136 points. I also find it quite humorous that Bryce Harper was unavailable as a home run derby choice yesterday, so I couldn't use him, and he homered when he was not in my lineup. that was kind of and now the Nationals aren't playing today, so I was unable to use them. But I do have Mike Trout, who still hasn't homered since being in my lineup. I paired him up with Charlie Blackmon and then the slumping Paul Goldschmidt, hoping Goldschmidt breaks out of it a little tonight and he gets going there. So that's where I'm going for home run derby. Did you plug you guys in? Who'd you go with? Trout, Mookie Betts, and who else?
And the same guy you went with, because I kind of figured you'd be going with Blackmon.
Oh, you went with Blackmon? Okay. Yeah, you know, it's so, because like when I look for a Rocky, it's either Blackmon or Arenado. I don't really think too hard about the other guy for home run derby. I do have another one in my regular lineup, but, you know.
I I am really excited though, because at the moment I am placed first out of 60,000.
Oh yeah, with no home runs.
Yep, because none of the games have started, so at least I have my first place.
You should screenshot that and send it to Mr. Fan. So I think you're in first place. So, you know. Here's what I came up with. Yeah, what I came up with for tonight, I'm going with Rick Porcello as my pitcher for $9,000. I like the opportunity of him getting a start against the A's here. Wilson Ramos is my catcher, first baseman, cost me $2,700. I'm going with Jason Kipnis again. I know he's in the lineup tonight. He's hitting sixth for the Indians. $2,700 there. A lot of Indians in my lineup tonight, so they better hit. Jose Ramirez at third base, $4,200. He's hitting third for the Indians. Francisco Lindor at short cost me $4,700, but he's leading off for the Indians tonight. Dan and I talked a little bit about him earlier. I'm going with D. Gordon as my big-time outfielder tonight. $3,200. He's hitting leadoff, of course. You know, these guys are always tough plays, but I'm hoping, you know, what you need out of a guy like this is you need a couple of hits, and maybe he can steal a base or two, maybe score a run or two, you know, to kind of make it worth your while. Then I'm going with Jesse Winker for $2,600. He's leading off for the Reds tonight against the Giants. My outfield wraps up with Gerardo Parra of the Rockies, just $2,200, hitting seventh tonight for them. And then my utility guy is my fourth Indian, Edwin Encarnacion. He hits cleanup for them, $3,600 for me there. So my recap, I got Porcello pitching. Wilson Ramos is my catcher, first baseman. Kipnis at second, Ramirez at third, Lindor at short. The outfield is Gordon, Winker, and Parra. And my utility guy is Edwin Encarnacion. So there you go. We'll see how it works out for me. But hopefully I can get rolling. It would be nice to pick something up there. So, and oddly, Dan, somebody in this league already has 7 points. So I don't know if somebody homered or what happened. I have to look here. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams already have 7 points. And they got them from CJ Krohn, who, let's see, what did he do? It looks like he doubled. I didn't know a double was 6 points, but okay. Yeah, he doubled, and then they also got a point from Eric Skoglund, who must have pitched an inning or got a strikeout or something. So I'm already 7 points in the hole, damn it. Not the way to get started for me. So we'll have to see how it goes. Now I got to play catch up already. I'm just kidding. Obviously, 7 points isn't that big of a deal for me to make up. So we shall see. But of course, I shouldn't say that because with the way I've been going, points could be a huge deal. So I have to learn to keep my mouth shut. So we shall see. I don't know. This is kind of where I need Dan's help because he's a little more. You know, I don't know. Let's call him smarter than me just to kind of save me the trouble. But, you know, the big story today has been the fact that the Supreme Court has, as they put it, strikes down federal gambling laws prohibiting sports betting. So it pretty much means now that any state, you know, anywhere, you can bet on games now. Now, obviously, you know, that used to be the draw to, you know, places like Las Vegas or Atlantic City were the fact that, you know, you could go there and bet on games. But, yeah, it looks like, according to this, you can kind of bet anywhere, right, is what I
yeah.
believe.
I didn't – I'll have to look that up in the morning tomorrow. I didn't. I saw that it came through that the feds are, you know, leaving it up to the regulation of the individual state. But I mean, it's all going to be determined. I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, are we, you know, at least 20, 30 years behind on that? I mean, shouldn't that have been granted a while ago? Why was it so specific to Vegas?
Yeah, you know, like, to someone like me, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really have an effect on me because, you know, I'm not a, you know, a gambler, you know, so to speak, with the exception of, you know, my dollar here or there on FanDuel when I play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't bet the lines or anything like that. I just, you know, I guess, you know, the first thing that popped into my head is, does like a place like Las Vegas still become a destination for people? Because obviously it's a city that kind of survives on tourism. Do you know,
oh,
do
yeah.
these guys still need to go to Vegas now that they can do it, you know, they're going to be able to do it from home on their computers in their underwear?
Well, I mean, that's the advantage, but at the end of the day, I mean, those guys who are placing their bets are going to base it off of the lines from Vegas. Maybe not so much, you know, however you would do it in the state, regulated. I mean, I think the problem with it, of course, was, you know, the feds weren't getting their money. The state wasn't getting their money, which when it
yeah.
comes to gambling, I mean, let's be honest, the feds shouldn't be allowed to have, shouldn't have their hands in every single thing. If you're going to leave it up to the states, it should be a state funded run thing. And, you know, when I look back to the 80s and, you know, my dad was in his 20s and that's when they did all their gambling back then. You know, the stigma with gambling was, you know, it was the New York style mafia, you know, pay up your bet of $50 or $1,500 or we'd come break your legs. And I don't know if they shot, I don't think they shot up your mama's house or any of that stuff, but, you know, they definitely come and break your legs and, I don't know, cut your hair off and bruise your face. But, you know, when I look at my dad and the guys that, he was doing all the stuff with. I mean, I was in on the home run pools, you know, before we had the FanDuel to do that cool stuff. And then, you know, the 13 run pool, he didn't let me get in that one because that one was a little beyond me. But, you know, even the weekly pick'em for the NFL, I mean, you're looking at hundreds of guys that all work together that, you know, weren't criminals. These were all full-time, you know, guys trying to make a little bit of extra cash on the side that, you know, Uncle Sam wasn't dipping his hand completely into. So I don't think Vegas will lose its draw, but I think it just opens up a bigger market for everybody. And, you know, with this kind of coming about, does that mean the NFL is just going to stop, you know, Roger Goodell and the NFL are just going to stop, you know, running the NFL? Because remember, they won't align themselves with, you know, a FanDuel or whatever the other ones, DraftKings, because it's
DraftKings.
Essentially
yeah.
gambling, you know. But of course, when they go to London, you know, who's the big sponsor? DraftKings. So, you know, I don't know. I think it could be a good thing. You know, it'll, I mean, you're still always going to have your black market, you know. Still going to have that Uncle Tony who's taking all the bets.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, there's always that guy, you know. Yeah, you know, we did my father did the football pools and, you know, the squares and, you know, like you said, the 13 run pool and, you know, home run derby, all that kind of stuff. You know, at the local tavern, he would visit, you know, every Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, they got in on all that stuff, and, you know, nobody had their hand in there except, you know, the owner of the establishment. You know, he was the
yeah.
only guy skimming any money there, but. I don't know. I mean, I what I heard today, and now I'm interested to see your take here. A lot of people believe that all the ballparks now will undergo a renovation and they will all have on-site gambling. Do you see these guys jumping in? Because, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to be able to watch the game from your seat and bet on your phone. So do you see maybe the team, you know, getting in on this right away and, you know, being like, hey, let's, you know, let's get this rolling.
I think it would, you know, I actually had a friend throw that out there today that, you know, he's going to be sitting in the bleachers. I don't know if it would be this season, but he's going to be sitting in the bleachers asking, you know, for another Bud Light, another hot dog, and $100 on the Cubs.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, it could be very much like that.
Well, and, you know, they already have the 50-50 raffle, which technically isn't gambling because it's a raffle, but it's still pretty much a gamble because you buy $10, $20 of tickets, and if you win, you know, you're excited, but if you lose, you really can't go home with that receipt trying to claim it as a gambling loss. So, you know, you've got to wonder how that's going to affect the game. And not only that, you know, is it going to be strictly tied to that team? Because, you know, let's be honest, with the way the White Sox are playing right now, you know, I mean, it would work because you'd have, you know, people betting against your team, so to speak, in certain situations. But at the same time, I mean, for a team like the White Sox, wouldn't you want it to be open up so that anyone could bet on any team? You know, that's where I wonder where the logistics come into it. Because, you know, if I'm a baseball guy, you know, obviously I'm like you, we're not big gamblers, but, you know, if I'm sitting in the White Sox, you know, bleachers that I pay $10 for, I'm not worried about it. I'm having a good time, but, you know, it'd be, you know, maybe I don't want to bet on the White Sox game, but I see Shohei Ohtani, you know, struck out 12 guys, and maybe I want to go bet on that game. And then I found out that Big Jack and Dan the Man didn't pick Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. So I'm going to put some money on the Angels and the Nats.
So, yeah, well, then, you know, if we didn't pick them, then you want to pick those guys to home, is how that works out. But, yeah I'll have to reach out. I have a cousin that actually owns and operates 6 gambling parlors, but they don't take sports bets. So I'll have to reach out to him and see if this is something that might enhance his business, if this is something they're going to get into. And, you know, maybe we can get a little more information that way. You know, see if he can help us out and, you know, how that affects things. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, I'm not, you know, again, not being a big gambler, I just don't know, you know, enough about how these things work or what can, you know, because obviously, you know, everybody's trying to figure out the effect it's going to have. And I mean, I'm just clueless. I don't know, you know, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? You know, how's it going to work out?
At the end of the day, what it's going to come down to is, you know, they're going to want to regulate this where it's completely internet based. Because, you know, I forget that one gambling website that my bets, or, you know, that one I signed up for that I never used all that free credits they give you because I don't know crap about betting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, what it comes down to, again, is everything's going to be online. So this is going to be a way for the state and the feds to track everything. You know, let's say you put $500 on that website, just like you could do right now on FanDuel. Well, you could win, you know, 10 grand, you could lose 10 grand, whichever one it is. But, you know, it's not until you print that report and cash your money that you're going to have to claim it. So that's where it's going to, the regulation is going to, you know, essentially make it work. You know, but I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people, you know, there's going to be, you know, the casuals, guys like you and I who might do the internet stuff, but you're still going to have your, you know, like you said, your local tavern based gambling, which is going to be completely unregulated. And, you know, if a guy wins a grand, he wins a grand. You know, he's not going to have to dish out. I don't remember what the, let's just say 40%, you know, he's not going to have to dish out $400 on his grand to the government.
So, yeah, well, you know, you'll have to make sure when I start winning big bucks that I don't commit tax fraud or anything. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think you have to just print out it's a 1099-G, I believe it is. The same BS form that the state of Illinois sends when you get an income tax refund from the state. I love that. you get a state tax refund, and then you have to claim it next year on your federal as income.
$25 on golf balls that I had to claim in on my state taxes. So, and the sad part was the ticket was a gift. So.
I mean, you never know. Maybe in that situation, you know, that could fall under the gift tax law.
Yeah.
Where I think it's up to $14,000 now.
So yeah, it was. I just kind of humorous, but it's like, wait, I own this, and now I have to pay tax on it. You know, obviously, it's not much, but you know.
Yeah, well, at least you didn't go bankrupt.
Yeah, that'll be next, right? No.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we always hear that with lotto winners going bankrupt, and currently I'm working in a workman's comp law firm, and, you know, the old guy is going through all his cases from the, actually, I'm not even lying, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s that were wage differential checks, and what that means is guy or woman got hurt at work, and they get paid for life based on the injury. And, you know, this one person was making $500 a week. And when you get paid through workman's comp, it's tax-free. You know, so you get $2,000 a month that you don't have to pay taxes on. And once you get into your 60s, you know, this particular person, you know, was born earlier, so they have more rights to the you know, Social Security and the pension sooner than a person like me. And yet last year they still had to file for bankruptcy.
Oh, wow.
Go figure that. You're getting, you know, two grand cash basically a month that you don't have to do anything with. No taxes, no nothing. You can go out and get another job making $1,000 a week if you wanted. But, you know, unfortunately people like this don't always end up doing anything. And, you know, that's a bad situation. Why there's, you know, Gamblers Anonymous too.
Yeah, I don't, you know, God, I mean, $500 a week, I'd just stay home. You know. what else do I need
probably
to do?
Stay at home. And, yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, sometimes with the work injuries, a lot comes with that, you know, the opiates. And then you run out of opiates, you get the alcohol, and, you know. You get tired of Busch beer after a while, you go up to Bud Light.
Yeah.
Although, since I brought up Busch beer, here's a nice segue for you, Big Jack. I didn't pick him, unfortunately. I wish I would have. Who won the race this weekend?
Kevin Harvick.
He was tearing down those Busch beers.
Yeah, Clint Boyer got wrecked late in the race, so he was out.
Yeah, but he still gave me like 50, 60 points.
Yeah, I ended up missing getting a little money in that by like 20 points. So that's been like the best FanDuel outings I've had there has been the NASCAR stuff. Otherwise, you know,
yeah,
I've just been struggling with baseball.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It was the way the point system is set up. I think I'm really going to get into this FanDuel NASCAR stuff.
Come on,
Radio.com.